If you've been told to pull up your socks, then make sure it's a pair of TNT socks. The TNT shop is now open at tntradio.live. This is the Chris Smith Show on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
G'day, g'day. Welcome to the program. Good to have your company. This is the Australian edition of TNT Radio. It is good to have you with us as we fly the flag for freedom, as we come down hard on government control, and we avoid the creeping policy of censorship. And that's where I wanted to begin the program today. Is censorship in any form a bad thing? In particular, should the captured footage of real-life violent acts, as occurred recently in Sydney at Bondi Junction and Wakeley, should they be allowed to, one, be published, to, two, be forwarded, and, three, is it okay that they're viewed by children right across the world? Otherwise, we have to apply censorship. Now, the government will use these events, no doubt, to creep over our rights even further, so we've got to be very, very aware of that. But shortly, I'll address the argument for a degree of censorship. Maybe you're completely averse to that, and I can understand why. I want to raise this issue today with communication professional Prue McSween. Has she been concerned about the widespread publication of these many, many gruesome videos, both at Bondi and from Wakeley? We'll also speak to Prue about the fallout from the bombshell defamation trial between Channel 10 and accused rapist Bruce Learman, including scrutiny placed upon the $2.4 million payment to his accuser, Brittany Higgins. Now, if that payment goes before the National Corruption Commission, as some are suggesting today, where does that leave the $2.4 million that the Labor government paid Brittany Higgins without letting us know? And we'll discuss the government's release today of the 10-year National Defence Strategy. Also on the program, how will Israel respond to Iran's fake missile and drone attack over the weekend, do you think? They have reaffirmed their commitment to do so, but what will that entail? We've been waiting and waiting and waiting, but could this be the disastrous last straw, leaving Israel internationally isolated? Now, as you would have heard in our news, and this has come through about 3.5 hours ago, at least 11 people, mostly children, have been killed in an Israeli strike on central Gaza. It was on a refugee camp. The attack hit a children's playground near a crowded market, and 11 children have died. In terms of all of that, I will catch up with Middle Eastern intelligence expert Shane Healy. He will join us on the program today, as he does each and every Wednesday, to unpack where we're up at on Gaza and to look at some of the issues related to what occurred at Wakeley on Monday night in Sydney and whether the terror threat needs to be raised at all. Plus, it's Cyber Wednesday, and you know what that means. Alex Zaharoff-Reut joins us, and he will have his global rundown of technology and cyber news and issues, including big, bad economic news for Elon Musk and his electric vehicle arm. There is no talking his way out of this one for Elon Musk, and there has been a number of staff let go because, well, basically demand has been outstripped by supply right across the world right now. I've got another opportunity for you to vote today on our very timely but contentious issue. Now, to lodge your vote, I'll tell you about what the question is shortly, but to lodge your vote, you need to have downloaded the For My Say app. And I noticed that last Wednesday, a lot of you did, and a lot of you contributed to the question that we had that day. But for those who are listening for the first time or watching and you'd like to participate and vote on the issue, you've got to download that app. Pretty easy to do. It's For My Say, numeral 4, MYSAY. Very easy to do. You can just go to the Apple App Store or you can go to Google Play, depending on your system, and search for My Say, numeral 4, MYSAY, and press for download. And download the app. Only takes a few minutes to do. You'll have to verify that it's you who's downloading the app, but you've done that before, no doubt, when you've downloaded apps at Standard Play. Your identity is secure. No one knows who is voting. So that includes all the staff at Form I Say and the site developers. No one knows. And that gets us to the question. You can vote from now on this question. Should laws be amended to allow women to carry pepper spray for self-defense? You know the statistics in the last 18 months have been the worst on record for women being killed. So we need to do something about it. Is this the answer? Should laws be amended to allow women to carry pepper spray for self-defense? You have three options. It's yes, it's no, or unsure. Yes, no, or unsure. You've got 90 minutes from now to lodge your vote. I'll close that voting window, the ballot box, at 4:30 p.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time. And we'll have the answers for you just before I clock off at 5 o'clock. So we'll have the answers for you in the program today. But go to MYSAY, Form I Say, right now. Download the app if you haven't done so already, or vote right away. You've got 90 minutes to do so. It will close at 4:30. And don't forget our talkback lines, the best, most democratic way to have your say on all the issues that we place on the table and any issues that you would like to set the agenda with as well. You can do so from the United States or Canada on 1-888-201-6425. That's 1-888-201-6425. From the UK, 033-0024-1026. Love to hear from you. And from Australia or New Zealand, 1-800-670-310. Let's get into this. You are with Chris Smith, broadcasting live on the Global News Talk Network, TNT.
Be a part of the conversation.
I want representation I can trust.
Have your say.
Biden isn't doing enough.
This is today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
I don't often get splinters. I like to take a view on an issue and go with it based on what I think are fairly strongly argued points. But I'm getting a few splinters today on this. When is censorship wrong? And when is it appropriate in a democracy such as ours? Now, most of you might think instantly that censorship is always wrong. But is it as simple as that? If we are to raise children without constant violence in their face, without being bombarded, and we should, I think you'd agree, isn't a degree of censorship necessary? There's censorship all around us. For instance, on the 6 o'clock news, if that's what you watch, there's certain images that cannot be shown, and there is a code of conduct for the television stations to follow. Now, Australia is a place where free speech is paramount. It is a right, not a privilege. It is a right. And I get that. And I fly that flag very strongly from here as well. But we've reached a point technologically where we need to discuss and debate the role of censorship in a society which now records on video, on our phones, as quick as we can, so many violent criminal acts as they happen. And in seconds, we publish those acts on easily accessible platforms. Some even publish them live. So where do we draw this line? What is the line that we draw? Or is the price of free speech the dangerous contamination of young minds by endless real incidents of violence? Is that something we just have to feed our kids anyway? Because we don't want to be censored. Do we have to accept that? As a father of four, I find that difficult, very difficult. And this issue has obviously come to the fore because of the violent and filmed acts of violence in both Bondi and Wakeley in the last 7 days. The mafia of social media, Facebook's parent company Meta, and Elon Musk's ex have been told to remove violent and distressing videos and imagery of the disturbing stabbing of the two clergy at an Assyrian church on Monday night. The new eSafety Commissioner, Julie Inman Grant, says she has issued with notices to remove material within 24 hours that depicted gratuitous. What is gratuitous and what is factual? Gratuitous or offensive violence with a high degree of impact or detail. Violence has impact. It is full of detail. It's graphic. It's colour. Now, the Prime Minister, too, has weighed in on this, saying he has frequent concerns for what is published in recent times?
Of course I'm concerned by social media. I'm concerned by social media at times like this, but there's probably not a day would go past I'd find it unusual if there wasn't things online that I wasn't, that didn't cause some concern. I think at times like this, where everyone is a publisher, it can create some real difficulties. And I just say to people, think before you press send, because this can have a really disruptive impact on people. I've said before that often on social media, people will say things they would never say to your face. I don't look at the comments on my social media post. If I did, it would be very difficult to go about my day-to-day activity. And I think this is something that we as a society have to engage in a debate on.
Okay, are we having a debate on that? Or has Anthony Albanese and others like Julie Inman Grant made the decision for us? Because they've already told the big tech giants, get rid of the gratuitous violence that has come from Wakely. So there's no debate. They've made the decision for us. But to think that Albanese and Inman Grant are playing God by deciding what we're allowed to view and what we're not allowed to view, I've got to say, fills me with great suspicion, because the next step, as you well and truly know, will be to remove content that exposes government individuals, government ministers, because of safety concerns. You know how it works. And the government has a bill on the table right now, which we've discussed ad nauseum on this program, capable of doing exactly that. And worse still, Canada's billboard Chris, who we had on the program only a week ago, has revealed today on X that the Australian eSafety Commissioner's budget has been increased from $10.3 million to $42.5 million. That is a fourfold increase. And that tells me they are coming to get us. They are coming to get us using censorship. Now, billboard Chris wrote on X, Prime Minister Albo MP is using tragedy as an excuse to censor what Australians can see and say. He said, he is now officially appealing the Commissioner's order to take down his video post of the violence. It will be the first legal challenge in the history of the Australian eSafety Commissioner's office. Watch that space. Billboard Chris is in Canada doing all of this. Meanwhile, X is resisting the order to delete or be fined, according to a post today from Malaysian journalist Ian Miles Chong. He wrote, when terrorists attacked the concert hall in Moscow, the Russian government never demanded anyone remove the videos or censor the news. It was all over X, Telegram and TikTok and Russian sites like VK. It was on Russian television. And yet here we are in Australia, he says, the supposed liberal democracy demanding that social media platforms comply with censorship requests of two major news stories. The Australian eSafety Commissioner wants me, Chong, to delete all videos and photos of the two mass stabbings in Sydney as if it can somehow hide the news from being disseminated. And sure enough, X confirmed to Chong that it had received a request from Australia regarding his X account that says his recent video content violates laws. But X explained, here it is on screen, we have not taken any action on the reported content, as X strongly believes in defending and respecting the voice of our users. It is our policy to notify our users if we receive a legal request. We want you to have an opportunity to evaluate the request, and if you wish, take appropriate action to protect your interests. So where to now? The eSafety Commissioner may have to start fining big tech. Will they care? I doubt it. But to be honest, I don't often remain undecided about these kinds of issues, but I am concerned about what the impact all of this real-life violence published on social media sites will have on my children, who have already stumbled across this material from other platforms. Let's hear what you think on all of this, on both our talkback numbers and our chat box on tntradio.live. Is a little censorship of real violent incidents appropriate, inappropriate, or is it even able to be policed at all? Maybe not, which makes the debate almost redundant. This is TNT.
TNT's James Freeman.
The issue I raise is how this year's US presidential election presents a clear and present danger to the world, given the weakness of Joe Biden, the current president of the United States. It is clear that the world needs right now, what the world needs is a US president that projects power, takes decisions, and sets a clear pathway on foreign policy. But instead, we've got a president who prefers to sit idly by, leaving a dangerous vacuum in his wake. What we've got at the moment is Joe Biden being a backseat driver who is trying to drive world affairs without putting his hands on the wheel.
James Freeman on today's News Talk TNT. TNT is an independent global news talk station that does what others only say they do. TNT is a live radio and TV broadcaster that simply tells the truth 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. No one in the world does what we do, crisscrossing the globe, providing credible news and opinion all day and all night. In 2.5 years, TNT has become a credible and exciting platform with brilliant hosts and staff. It's a critical time, and we must continue to call out the misinformation and propaganda from mainstream media and their powerful sponsors. We're now appealing to our many friends and supporters around the world to go to tntradio.live and make a small donation to TNT while we seek the right investors to continue our important mission.
Ladies and gentlemen,
today's news talk.
News and information.
TNT Radio.
Okay, you've got a little bit more than 1 hour to lodge your vote with the For My Say question for today. You firstly got to download the app. That's the first thing you've got to do. And then you'll be able to answer the questions and vote each and every Wednesday when we hold these questions. For My Say, that's numeral 4, MYSAY is the app you've got to get to. Do it on the App Store, or if you're an Android person, you can do it, of course, on the Play Store. Get that app, and then you can see the question. The question will be, should laws be amended to allow women to carry pepper spray for self-defense? I asked this question in a group of men last night at a production meeting I was having with four other blokes. Two of them are police officers. So it's interesting because most police officers will say to you, it's only good that the police have guns and that the public does not, at least in Australia. And they all agreed that they would not oppose women having and carrying pepper spray for their own use for self-defense. So that's the question. You've got three options, yes, no, or unsure. I'll close it down in around about 1 hour and 7 minutes from now. 1 hour and 7 minutes, right on 4:30. And we will then get you the results before I clock off at 5 o'clock. All right, let's get to the founder and director at Verve Communications, Prue McSween. Welcome back to TNT.
Thanks, Smithy. I don't know, I've got gremlins in the works, sadly. Anyway.
That's okay. At least we've got you. Audio is better than nothing. Now, it's been a massive 7 days. I haven't had a chance to speak with you either privately or publicly about what's occurred at Bondi or Wakely, but let's do that now. But I want to start with what I had to say at the start of the program about censorship, Prue. We learnt during the pandemic how capable government is in censoring views and even facts if it doesn't suit their campaigns. We've now got a fourfold budget allocation to the eSafety Commissioner, and she is full bore on censoring items that occur and pop up and are published on social media sites. So where's the line for censoring real-life violence, the kinds of violence that was filmed on Monday night and also on Saturday afternoon?
Well, Smithy, this is the problem. I'm a bit like you. I've got the tweezers ready to pluck the splinters out of our backsides because, you know, I am against it generally, you know, as a free speech advocate, and it really worries me, and I don't trust government, particularly this particular government, but any, to tell us what we can and cannot say. They're already doing that enough with the various free speech laws that have been imposed, where people like us have to measure every word that we say. But you know, I think that the horse, to an extent, has bolted in terms of the motivation of people who post this stuff. You know, we have become, or a lot of people have become, so desensitized by violence, whether it be in the movies, the video games, even on our streets where people are so angry. And, you know, you look at the motivation of these people who are posting this stuff, you know, they're self-aggrandizing, they're putting their desires to impress people, I think it must be, and promote themselves over the, you know, the sensitivities and mental health of others, you know. And why have we got people who are willing to do that? You know, most of us would shy away from all of this because it is so
sad. See, that's interesting you say that. Can I take you back Saturday afternoon? What would you and I have done if we were at the top of those escalators seeing that madman with the knife? We would have either got away from him, worked out a way of protecting other people, maybe considered taking him on, maybe. But the last thing I would have done was to whack out my mobile phone and start filming.
It just wouldn't occur to me. I mean, to be honest, I've thought about it, and I would go in because, you know, I'm just would be so outraged by it. But, you know, you never know until the time comes. And let's hope it never comes for any of us again. But it's the thought of these ghouls who are just, you know, wanting to big note themselves. I just don't get it. I don't understand it. I do to an extent because we have so much violence in our lives now. And in fact, we have, you know, I often say, well, it's up to the parents to supervise their kids, but kids need phones. You know, kids of 12 and 10, if they're going, walking to and from school, I get it.
They must.
So then how do we, you know, put, there's supposed to be parental controls on these things, but clearly, accidentally, they can come across this stuff.
Yeah.
It worries me that also, are our kids becoming desensitized and exposed to this? And, you know, we've cotton wooled them. I think it's time for parents to talk to their kids about what is right, what is wrong, what is respect and tolerance, you know, so that they have the maturity or understanding that morality is being kind and not, you know, playing on people's misfortunes. Yeah. Maybe I'm a Pollyanna, but look, I'm not surprised that people are doing this now because, you know, they either do it for, as I say, their self-aggrandizement, or is it for money? So many of them now are motivated and it's citizen journalism that's being rewarded. But, you know, when you think of all those poor people and the fact that there were these, you know, desensitized eyes filming them, you just have to wonder what kind of a world are we living in?
So to Monday night's terror attack and the riot that ensued at Wakeley, we're beginning to learn a little bit more about the 16-year-old and his background. We're learning a little bit about what the bishop has said on previous sermons from the pulpit there. What are your observations about what you saw at Wakeley?
You know, this tribalism, this fact that this mob descended in hysterics and in the face of, you know, the police and the ambos who were trying to save the life of this bishop. And
unreal.
You think, my God, you know, we know that people from these countries are very dedicated to their religions and they're hotheads, a lot of them too, let's face it, you know. But there is no place for it. And what annoys me is that, you know, people are now saying that this kid who's done this was displaying, you know, activism and radicalism. And, you know, members of his community had actually banned him from some of their mosques. Well, for God's sake, why weren't they reporting him? You know, there is a responsibility too. But then again, you see these hate speech preachers who are not shut down. Why isn't the Muslim community, the ones that actually appreciate the fact they're living in a country that has welcomed them, that we, you know, there's a lot of respect and tolerance, but they are not respecting and tolerating our community and the way we want to live our lives by ignoring this and allowing this to happen.
So internally, they have to do more about imams who preach hate, and we've seen far too much of it, especially in the last 12 months.
100%, Smithy. So, you know, I think the onus has to be on these various communities, not just the Muslim community, but, you know, just let's, for God's sake, take some responsibility for our children and the messaging we're getting out, and to also celebrate the fact that you are in this country and we don't want imported problems coming here.
No. No, I made that point very loud and clear yesterday at the start of the show, and I think that's the overwhelming notion that I'm hearing from the conversations I'm having. I've got to get to a news break. We'll come back. We'll talk further about these issues and also more straight after a quick news update on TNT.
TNT Radio News.
Huge news. News.
Matt Boylan's here with your TNT headlines. After helping defend Israel against an Iranian attack, the US says it will not offer the same level of protection to Ukraine.
Different conflicts, different airspace, different threat picture.
Israel's been accused of killing near a dozen children in a drone strike in central Gaza. Much of the desert city of Dubai is underwater after receiving 2 years worth of rain in a single day. And the FBI has launched a criminal investigation into last month's deadly bridge collapse in Baltimore.
Globalist agendas, democratic rights at risk, corruption, propaganda. It never stops. For the news and views silenced by the mainstream media, by government and corporations, vote one. TNT Radio. Free speech always has a home here. Stay up to date with the latest live news and current affairs delivered by our lineup of expert commentators and hosts. Listen to TNT Radio anywhere you go. Ask Alexa or Google to play TNT Radio or download the TNT Radio app for free from the App Store or Google Play. Today's news talk. This is TNT Radio.
It is TNT Radio. Thank you very much for your company. I've got Prue McSween with me right now. Prue, I haven't spoken to you, as I said, about Bondi. How can we ever be prepared for such an eventuality? We've heard conversations about all kinds of things, you know, security guards having batons, having guns. You can't put security guards on every corner of a shopping center that's seven stories high and about four different towers. You can't possibly have a security guard everywhere where someone like he would have turned up, and then he's not going to start brandishing a knife in front of a security guard. He's going to do it when he's away from anyone watching him. So I wonder whether there's anything we can do. It's just terrible, terrible, horrific luck for those who were killed and injured.
Well, particularly, Smithy, when the security guards didn't even have a baton or anything. You know, they had a two-way radio, and that was about it to arm themselves with. So you're right. I mean, it's such a lottery of life, a sliding doors moment. I think I had been to Bondi Junction, Westfield, three times that the week prior.
Right.
You know, and you'd never think that some deranged person would be coming and, you know, stabbing people in the back. You couldn't even see him coming in most cases. You know, it's just, it's impossible. I mean, I've worked with Westfield. They were a client of mine for about 14 years. So I know that, you know, there's a lot of CCTV and there's drills that go on, but not clearly you cannot, you know, prevent something like this from happening. But the thing that really gets my goat is that this bloke should have been in some sort of mental institution. Now, clearly he was sick. I'm not giving him any excuses, by the way, but I'm just saying that, you know, we see so much now since the 80s when most of the mental health facilities were closed down.
Yeah, from the Richmond report in 1980, exactly.
That's right. And, you know, I think there's something like this may be not correct, but something like around 4 to 6 operational mental health facilities in New South Wales, with a couple of them in regional areas. Well, this means that people, and I understand they're trying to, you know, get them to the stage where they're deinstitutionalized, but when you have people who forget to take their drugs, who are homeless in the end because they cannot look after themselves, you know, they're either in prison or they're homeless and they are going to substance abuse, social isolation, this is all triggering. You know, so clearly, while the people who closed these institutions, and there were horrendous ones, we all heard some of the stories of people who were, you know, given the most psychotic drugs. And so, you know, everything's been modernised and we appreciate that treatment is different. But, you know, there are halfway houses and clinics that are underfunded. And, you know, you just think, well, this man needed to be under care. And, you know, we see now so many people who are in court pleading mental illness to get off, but a lot of them are mentally ill. So what about the rights of the citizens, the innocent women who were murdered the other day? You know, we're all exposed to this now, and there needs to be, rather than throwing $18 million at an inquiry, you know, it's pointless. We know what's wrong. They need to be throwing money at these mental institutions and trying.
Yeah, the $18 million could have been better spent there. You're right there.
Exactly. So, you know, we have this situation, but, you know, I've said to all young women I know, you know, learn jujitsu, learn how to protect yourself. In this case, when you've got a mongrel coming and stabbing you in the back, that's probably useless. But I just think we have to have this sort of siege mentality to protect ourselves, because sadly, it's going to get worse. You know,
all right, last point on this subject. It goes to our "for my say" question I've got on the program today until 4:30. Should laws be amended, Prue, to allow women to carry pepper spray for self-defence?
100%, Smithy. Of course, it's a no-brainer. And we should be able to, you know, do whatever we can. I felt sorry for that poor man who was had this guy come into his house with an axe. And he's going to be the bloke who's going to be going through the trial system. You know, if you have to defend yourself, you bloody well do so. And, you know, but you have to face the repercussions later. It's all wrong. The laws are all crazy and screwed.
It's upside down. All right, let's talk about this Brittany Higgins, or should I say Bruce Lerman, Channel 10 defamation verdict. Two judges have now declared that alleged Parliament House rape victim Brittany Higgins should be investigated by the National Anti-Corruption Commission over the $2.45 million compensation payment she received from the Labor government. One former judge is saying Higgins could be ordered to pay the money back due to untrue statements made in her claim against the Commonwealth. And the question needs to be asked, why did it happen behind closed doors? Why did the Attorney General Mark Dreyfus sign this off?
Because it was always a political move, wasn't it? You know, I'm sorry, but any woman who has been allegedly raped, you don't call the media. You don't decide not to go to the police. That's, you know, to me, you know, if you're fair dinkum. So what was the motivation? Clearly, you know, to call Katie Gallagher, one of the Mean Girls, you know, to have Shiraz, the fiancé, talking about the tactics of when it would be best to get this exposed. And then the Labor Party stopping her bosses from giving evidence, unless they wanted to pay for their legal advice. You know, the whole thing stinks. But the problem is, I mean, she's gone off. She's whacked a lot of that money, I understand, into a protectionist trust. She's bought the chateau. There won't be a lot of dough left, will it? And it's going to be hard to access. But the whole thing stinks, and my big problem is the Labor Party, and, you know, they're going to stall any ICAC investigation because they know they've done the wrong thing, and the thing has hairs on it, and they will stall that forever if they can.
Yeah, they sure will. Now, Defence Minister Richard Marles has used his address at the National Press Club a short time ago to unveil the government's new 10-year national defence strategy. It includes cuts to the army to pay for drones and missiles. I've got to say, having actually listened to his presentation, I thought it was as committed as I've ever heard the Labor Party to defence. But I just wonder, with these timeframes of our first nuclear submarine in, you know, probably the late 2040s, and then a Virginia class sub late 2030s. I don't know, Prue. I just think that we're somehow 20 years behind where we should be.
Oh, we sure are. And you can blame all sides of government for this. You know,
yes.
With little old Australia has been lulled into, you know, the lucky country psyche where we're untouchable. You know, we're fools. You know, we've known that China's had designs on us for years. We are defenceless, let's face it. And, you know, the problem is this modernisation's overdue, but, you know, call me the cynic that I know I am. I'm a card-carrying one. you know, the only reason that Labor is now prioritising this, and thank God they are, but, you know, it's going to be years before anything happens, it's because they're feeling their political heat. They did their forum. They know we were all unhappy with the fact Miles was in particular criticised for the fact that, you know, he was dragging his feet and you know, I think 3 months to answer anything from the ADF. But it's true. We are not. It was a review that was already staged, said we were not fit for purpose. We all know that we couldn't defend ourselves with a lettuce leaf at the moment. But as you say, it's going to be such a long lead time for any of this new stuff. We've got to prioritise our war stocks now. We've got to secure our oil supplies and storage. I think we only have about 3 weeks storage of oil. Well, that's going to cost us a lot. But the problem is when our bloody lights aren't even functioning, when we haven't got the energy to gear up our, as we did in World War II, where a lot of manufacturers, not that we've got too many these days, switch to, you know, making war, you know, materials, etc. You know, we're going to find ourselves just a laughing stock of, you know, Chinese are going to just think we're a joke. But thankfully, we are sort of waking up. But I can't help feeling that Labor's just, you know, going to shunt it down the road, kick it down the road, because Bowen's spending so many billions on trying to buy votes by getting himself out of the hole he's dug himself in with all the subsidies he's got to promise to try and get people interested in renewable investments. So, you know, I just think I don't have any faith this government's going to really do the job.
Yeah, well, you don't have any faith that consecutive governments will carry through with the same plan. That's always the problem with these things. One last one. The Federal Environment Minister, Tanya Plibersek, I was hearing her on radio today talking up her new green COPs with new laws to crack down on industry and miners to protect flora and fauna. But that's all we need, I guess, Prue. You know, another tranche of bureaucracy, another tranche of public servants to stymie business and investment.
Well, exactly. I mean, this Plibersek's, you know, itching to become the leader. She's hoping that if and when, and let's pray he's going to get Labor's going to get kicked out at the next election. She's, you know, the PM, the opposition leader or Labor leader in waiting. She's got to make her mark. Bowen's doing a lot of the running in her territory. So, you know, she's coming up with all these fancy ideas. She, along with Bowen and the rest, Burke and the rest of them, are screwing this country. Why would anyone be in business here, big business here?
No, you wouldn't go anywhere near Australia.
You wouldn't. And you wouldn't go anywhere near Australia to invest in Australia. You know, this is just another layer of crap. It's singing to the green song sheet, although they're not happy at all. You know, they think that the EPA should be, you know, independent and, you know, because she can override this bloody thing.
Yeah.
But this decision-making authority. But, you know, in the end, you know, this country's stuffed. While Labor, you know, they wanted to change this country, they are. And I don't think this country will ever recover from the damage they've made.
Yeah, it's going to have to be reversed, and it won't be a happy way to. Well, it won't be an easy thing to do. That's what it won't be.
With all the money that's gone out of our coffers, you know, it's just terrifying. And the contracts they're signing, you know, we're going to be paying for years and years, no matter who the government is, and that's the tragedy of it.
It is. And we're going to wake up one day, Prue. We're going to work out, well, hang on a minute, we got that climate change obsession wrong. There's been no change to the temperature of the planet, but we've just spent $2 trillion trying to. Oh, yeah, okay, so we've got no money for hospitals, education, roads, etc. Okay, that's a problem. And then we're going to find out that other things that are now being planted, seeds that are being planted by this government, is going to come back to bite us in 10 years' time. And they'll be long gone, Prue. They'll be in there business class seats off to Paris for the summer.
Well, Smithy, you know, this is the thing. We should almost be able to sue politicians for the decisions they make. You know, when you think about the shockers that all governments make and you think, you know, and the dereliction of duty, you know, where are the dams? Where's the fast trains? Where's our, you know, energy supply secured? You know, we just have everywhere you look, we've had inept government, and it's all
and they're not accountable.
In fact, not accountable. It's factionalism. It's idiots who've never paid a person before, who've never run a business, who've come up through the ranks of unions or, you know, university, you know, internships in Liberal Party ranks. You know, it's just the calibre of the thinking is pathetic. This is where I had hopes for Trump, because you need someone who's had business acumen, who understands how to do a deal, who understands business modelling and the repercussions of their decisions. And sadly, we don't have that. We've never had it. So, God help us. I'm glad I'm an old bird. I'll be dead before, you know, when this country's really stuffed. But I feel very sad for our kids.
Yeah, I think you're right. It'll be very sad. They'll be paying for it more than we will. Thank you so much for your time, Prue. Thanks, much appreciated. Nikki. Good on you. Prue McSween. Yeah, good stuff from Verve Communications, and it's good to have her on the program. Just a reminder that that survey question is still ongoing. Just download the For My Say app. That's numeral 4, MYSAY, For My Say, and you'll see the question. Should laws be amended to allow women to carry pepper spray for self-defense? If you want to jump on the talkback lines and answer the question that way, you can do so as well. Why should they or why should they not? You've got three options there on that survey on the website, on the app, For My Say. Yes, no, or you're unsure. You're allowed to be unsure, okay? You're allowed to get splinters in this world. When it comes to censorship of some of the violent material we've seen, I'm not sure, but I think I might be getting more splinters than I ever have. Maybe you can sort that out for me. Give us a call on that open line number where you come from the United States and Canada, of course. It's 1-888-201-6425. From the UK, 033-0024-1026. And from Australia or New Zealand, 1-800-670-310. This is Chris Smith on TNT.
Right now, the forgotten poor are waiting for healing and care, for life-saving medical care, for a chance to live with dignity and hope. They are waiting for Mercy Ships and you. Mercy Ships is the largest floating civilian hospital in the world, with volunteer medical staff and crew who donate their time to save lives. And now, as our newest state-of-the-art hospital ship sets sail, Mercy Ships will double our ability to reach children and adults who need us now.
Without the work of Mercy Ships, these patients don't have another option.
Mercy Ships is answering the call to serve suffering people who have nowhere else to turn. Together, we are going to some of the world's most desperate places and bringing a wave of hope and healing to those who need it most. To learn more about this wave of hope, go to mercyships.org today.
I tell my son, I love you every single day.
I love you.
Now, my dad has never said that to me. Not because he doesn't love me, but because culturally it wasn't comfortable for him. Now that he's a grandfather, he says, I love you to my son every time he sees him. My advice to all the fathers out there, forget the cultural restrictions. They grow up way too fast for you to waste even a single precious moment.
Focused on the facts. Chris Smith on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
I don't know whether you've been following this, but the POMs are about to do something that no other country has done, which is vote on a smoking ban for those born after 2009. Plans to stop young people born since 2009 ever smoking are being debated and will be voted on later. Rishi Sunak's bill aims to create the UK's first smoke-free generation in a major public health intervention. An intervention, all right? Talk about taking away your choice. And I know it's all bad for you. And many of you, probably most of you, don't smoke. Some of you might still do so, and you think, well, it's your right to smoke. If you want to put yourself in danger, you do so. It's like when I get on a two-wheeled motorcycle and I might go very fast somewhere. I take the risk with my own body, and that's the freedom that I have. Isn't that same freedom applied when it comes to smoking? However, maybe you can flesh that out for us on the open line. The Tobacco and Vapes Bill, it's called, would ensure anyone turning 15 from this year would be banned from buying cigarettes and also aims to make vapes less appealing to children. Now, a number of Tory MPs have told the BBC they won't back the bill. This is a BBC story. The BBC understands that Business and Trade Secretary Kemi Badenoch is considering voting against the plans. Conservative MPs will get a free vote on it, so they won't be ordered to vote with the government. So it's like, as we would call it in Australia, we would call it a conscience vote. Tobacco use is the UK's biggest single preventable cause of death, killing two-thirds of long-term users and causing 80,000 deaths every year. 80,000 people die every single year. The bill would make the sale of tobacco products, rather than the act of smoking, illegal. On top of that, a patient is admitted to hospital in the UK with a smoking-related condition such as heart disease, strokes and lung cancer almost every minute of every day in England. Every minute of every day because of smoking. Now, supporting the ban, England's chief medical officer, Professor Sir Chris Whitty, said once people become addicted to smoking, their choice is taken away. If you are in favour of choice, you should be against something that takes away people's choice. So, you know, that's a perverse way of twisting a freedom of choice. Once you're addicted, you can't choose, apparently. Well, as a younger man, I was addicted to smoking and I was able to give it up. I've been addicted to drinking most of my life and I've just given it up. When I was a junior doctor doing surgery, says the Surgeon General, I remember the tragedy of seeing people whose legs had to be cut off because of the smoking that had damaged their arteries outside the hospital, weeping as they lit up because they were trapped by addiction. He says that is not a choice. Meanwhile, Tory MP Sir Simon Clark, who served in Liz Truss and Boris Johnson's cabinet, said he did not support the move. He told BBC Radio 4's Today programme it was far better to focus on education and the tax system to deter young people from smoking rather than enforcing an outright ban. An outright ban, he said, risks making smoking cooler. It certainly risks creating a black market, which is true, and it also risks creating unmanageable problems for the authorities. So there you go. So under the plans, this is what's going to happen. Trading standards officers, so they'll have a smoking police unit. They would get new powers to issue on-the-spot £100 fines to shops selling tobacco or vapes to children, with all the money raised going towards further enforcement. There would also be new restrictions on flavours, packaging, and the sale of vapes to make them less appealing to children. So that's what's going on in the UK. It may be passed before the end of the week, which is very interesting. Now, in the science world, this is my fascination. This is my self-indulgence on my self-indulgent program. Because sometimes you can do things that mostly, you know, you may not be interested in, but I am, because I find the universe fascinating. So I find it so fascinating, I sometimes can't think about it. It's that out of control. So how's this? A 2,000-foot-wide asteroid, think about 2,000 feet. This is the size of this asteroid. It's called 2013 NK4. Just made its closest approach to Earth in recorded history, sailing by at about 8 lunar distances. You can still see the massive rock with a backyard telescope. I've been sort of searching on some of the social media platforms, and those science geeks are saying, I've seen it. Very excited. This is what they call in this game a city killer asteroid. So this is a city killer asteroid. Has just made the closest approach to Earth since records began, sailing safely past our planet at more than 8 times the average distance between Earth and the moon. Despite being classified as potentially dangerous and hazardous, the gigantic space rock poses no threat to our planet. But for the first time ever, it will be visible via amateur telescopes over the next 3 nights, April 15 to April 17. So everyone with their telescopes will be out and about late at night, rugged up, trying to see this incredible asteroid. It's named 2013 NK4. It's around 610 meters wide, making it about twice the size of the God of Chaos asteroid Apophis, which will make a super close approach to Earth in 2029. The space rock made its closest approach to Earth on Monday when it reached around 2 million miles or 3.2 million kilometers from our planet. So if you can see it on a telescope, the truth of the matter is, despite the fact that it may look like as if it's 5 minutes away, it is not. It is millions of kilometers away. I just wanted to have something to say about Julian Assange's story today. You know what I said when the High Court came down in London 3 weeks ago and said, we want the American authorities, the American government, to reply to a series of questions about Julian Assange's future under lock and key in the United States. They didn't use those terms, but you know what I mean. And I said at the time, they were just gimme questions. Are you going to apply the death penalty? Well, what's the United States going to say to that? No, because there's none at that level of Supreme Court justice. Can he use the First Amendment? Well, of course he can. But whether the judge in the trial that he will face wants to consider the First Amendment is another question entirely. So how do you even answer that? And surely the High Court in the UK would have known that. So why ask the question? It was a silly question to ask. Having said all of that, nothing has surprised me. So Julian Assange's bid to avoid extradition to America has been dealt a blow, as you know, with the United States providing the assurances about his treatment that the London court demanded. But it was just a gimme. It means nothing. Maybe the High Court judges were trying to deflect the pressure that they were under to make a decision in the case. Now, he's trying to challenge the extradition, of course, and has done for quite some time. He faces multiple criminal charges in the United States relating to the publication of classified information. So the US on Tuesday provided those questions: that the death penalty would not be imposed should he be convicted, that Assange would not be prejudiced at trial or sentence because of his nationality. Well, what is the United States going to say to that? Oh, yes, because he's an Australian born, we are going to treat him more harshly. Huh? What sort of a dumb question? It's a Dorothy Dixer. And Assange would be permitted to rely on the US Constitution's First Amendment. What are they going to say? So, in a diplomatic note sent from the US Embassy in London, it said while Assange would be able to seek to rely upon the Free Speech Amendment, a decision as to the applicability of the First Amendment is exclusively within the purview of the US courts. It's up to the judge. We knew the answer to that. It means lawyers for the US and Assange will return to court on May the 20th to make final representations before the justices make a decision at a time yet to be specified. So if it's May 20, it won't be before June 20, a month later. It may be around that date, but it wouldn't be before that date. So this just goes on and on. And meanwhile, this bloke is in Belmarsh Prison, one of the worst prisons in Britain, getting sick, which is what we've heard from those who are closest to him. But I just thought right from the get-go that the High Court acted like as if they were a magistrate's court with these inane questions to have answered, as it turned out, by the American authorities. Will he be able to use the First Amendment? Yeah, but it's up to the judge. We all knew the answer to that. And as I said before, the other questions were just as inane. As for what he's facing now, nothing has changed. Justice is just being delayed and delayed and delayed. Very sad indeed. We've got to get to some news. I'll come back after that with plenty more on our plate. We've got our cyber segment today with Alex and a whole heap more. Do not go anywhere.